detective. Thrill me.
Thanks for joining us. We thought we'd go back to a top five, Jared, due to a film that you watched this week, I believe. Sort of got the brain percolating and I started thinking, what are my five favourite superhero films? And what are my five least favourite superhero films? So that's what we'll go for. Yeah, it'll be personal preference, Jared.
Of course.
You, of course, have got a larger palette of superhero films to choose from. I'm a little bit lacking on the superhero films recently.
I'm sure you've seen plenty of the bad ones.
I have. but before we get to that, let's do a bit of a whip round as to what we've been watching. I'll go first too, so we can sort of segue your movies in towards what we're doing. But I have watched the first six episodes of Death and Other Details on Disney Plus, which so far so good. Four episodes to go. It's enjoyable. It's taken a couple of like little turns where I was like, I'm not quite sure where this is going, and I'm not sure I like it, but it kind of rerouted one particular sort of side plot they went for where I was just like, this looks ridiculous, but then they kind of rerouted from it, which was good. I watched The Famous Five.
Ooh.
On Stan. Was it on Stan? I'm not going to lie, Jared, I don't know quite how to describe it.
First question. Does it involve supernatural? Did they go that route that the Nancy Drew?
No,
and the
not
Hardy
really.
Boys?
Not really. No. So it keeps the nostalgic kind of feeling of the Famous Five with regards to the kids and how they act and what they wear and everything. But yet it's also got like dead bodies and shit in it, which seemed at odds with the Famous Five if you're going down a nostalgia route of trying to sort of make it kid friendly. And then they had this god-awful fucking musical score that sounds like fucking techno. I was just like, who put this in here? Fucking Nicholas Winding Refn, I can guarantee you. He's fucking, oh, yeah, put that in.
Yeah.
So I haven't totally arseholed it.
But you're close by the sounds of it.
But
more hard-hitting techno track and you'll be...
There's another movie coming.
Yeah,
okay. I'll probably watch that and then make a decision because I think it's meant to be a number of films. It was average, I think I'd place it. We have watched the rest of True Detective Night Country, including the sixth episode. We watched the first half of it before I came here tonight. Thankfully, it's not quite where I thought maybe it was going supernatural, but it hasn't. Thank fuck. It's engaging enough. I'm not going to say it's great, great television, but it's engaging and it's held my interest the entire time. And a six episode season is nice and straight to the point, you know, not a lot of sort of slog in there. We watched the first two episodes of a show on Netflix called One Day. I believe there was a movie done of it in the, you know, mid-2000s. It's basically about these an English girl and an English guy who meet at I guess you'd say it's like an end of school party, and then every episode is a year later, and we see where they're at. I don't know. The bloke at work reckon him and his wife were in tears. I was two episodes in, and I kind of said to my wife, "Does this relationship sucks?" Like they were supposed to, I felt like they was hoping to go for like sparks fly, but I got none of that, nothing.
You need to stop just clicking on random shit on Netflix.
Well, it was actually the missus.
I mean, you laugh at me, but fucking hell.
No, we went for it because this guy at work said, look, this is really good. I think I don't know whether I'll go back.
When he brings it up at work, you'll
I'm just going to go, look, I saw the first two episodes. Yeah, it wasn't working for
me. He brings it up at work and you'll go, oh, yeah, I started it. Let's talk shop about that meeting later.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the show? No, I don't. I'd rather talk about work. All right, and I finished my viewing with a pair of sports films, Jared. American Underdog on Netflix about Kurt Warner. The first hour was kind of a bit of a slog. And it, I mean, I'll give the filmmaker some credit for kind of taking a slightly different route and going more about him and his wife getting together and the family dynamic. But the back 40 minutes really comes to the fore.
Mm.
Like, that's when we get what actually occurs to him and everything. And it, they do a really good job. Although you cannot fucking possibly tell me that fucking Zachary Levi is 24 at one point. They're trying to toddle out he's 24 and he's in college or 22 and he's in college. And I'm like, he looks like he's fucking 50.
I mean, it was a few years ago, but even then he'd have been in
his 41 when they
was 41 when they made it. He's in college.
Fucking hell. Yeah, thanks, fucking Van Wilder.
Yeah. And I mean, I was a mature age student at university and I was younger than that.
And the last one, Jared, only the greatest movie trailer of all time. The Rookie, mate. The Rookie. Fuck, good movie. Real good movie. Totally underrated.
Yeah, because it just kind of disappeared in the whole sports movie
conversation. It did pretty well financially. I looked it up. And I love the fact that it's not, like, he wasn't a star.
No, he just got there.
He just got there, something that he always wanted. And fucking Dennis Quaid is super underrated.
Yeah.
He's such a fucking solid actor. Like, you know, like, you believe him. Like, yeah. You believe him as the kind of the down on his luck sort of teacher who missed his shot and stuff and gets it back. Like, you kind of believe it.
You love it. And I love the fact that they actually had to fucking dampen the score lines of his team because the real team was fucking kicking everyone's ass.
Yeah.
Because it turns out they were facing a major league picture.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, we had to make the score lines more believable because his team fucking killed everyone.
Exactly. Really, really good film. And he's also, the other thing about Quaid is he's very believable as an athlete. Because he did a lot of the pitching in the film. It's just that he couldn't throw, obviously, clearly couldn't throw that hard. So
no,
they,
fuck no.
In the shots where he has to pitch fast, it's a minor league pitcher.
Yeah.
But really good film.
Yeah, I'll have to get back on that. It's been a while since I've watched it. Because I'm in the sports, I'm just getting riled up to watch The Dynasty.
The Dynasty?
Which is the one about the New England Patriots.
Oh.
It's popped up on Apple Plus, so the first three episodes are on there. I've heard it's good.
I didn't know you had that.
Well, it's just floating around there. Fucked if I could tell you what I've watched on Apple Plus,
help,
but I've got access to it.
Fuck, are you trying to pull?
I'm not giving you my fucking Apple ID.
Whatever. Jesus.
You'll be sniffing around.
Yeah, be sniffing around. But it's got nothing on it, has it?
It's pretty light on, but this is an Apple Plus original, I think, and it's look. I've heard it's no Last Dance, but it's about as close as we've gotten since then.
Okay, well, that's fair.
10 episodes.
That's good.
And, you know, we've already got some bad blood. We've already got, you know, Tom Brady saying he never would have played for Bill Belichick again and all this sort of stuff.
Oh, really?
So I'm like, hey, muckraking. Let's get in there.
Gronkowski fucking getting out of the piss all the time.
Yeah, I can't wait to see all that. So
what do you have?
Well.
Leading into what we're going to talk about.
Well, staying on the sports track, I got back onto heels. Because I hadn't finished season two.
You hadn't finished it?
I hadn't finished season two.
I thought you raced through season two.
Well, I raced through the start of it, but then I just hit, I got to a point where I just had a few episodes left, but I just got sidetracked for ages with other stuff.
Unbelievable.
So I've come back into it for episodes 6 and 7, I think, or 7 and 8. I'm on the home stretch, but I also got, like, I was at that point when we got hit with the news that it wasn't coming back.
Oh, yeah.
So I sort of got a little bit, oh, fuck, I might just save it up a bit. Fuck, I'm sad. After watching the last couple of episodes, I am just sad that a show like that can't get renewed.
So it's not getting picked up again? I thought there was some hope in the
end. I think they were shopping it around to other networks, but there's been no news on that. And I think Stephen Amell's just been cast in the bloody Suits spin-off or something. So
has he?
That probably puts a spanner in. But yeah, fuck. I mean, me and you have spoken about, because I know you watched the first season, so you're aware of some of the storylines with the Spade brothers' father.
Yep.
And his history with Wild Bill, who's fucking just about my favourite character in the show.
Wild Bill's fucking awesome.
Well, they start to really dive into that in the middle of this season. They're still working with the rivalry with Charlie Gully and all that sort of stuff, but they start to work in some backstory with the father and Wild Bill. Fucking hell. This last episode that's just gone by, she would have just...
Your
little heart would have just started beating a little quicker.
Fired up.
It was emotional stuff. And I was just sitting there going, I'm sitting there just thinking, fuck, I've only got 3 episodes left of this and I'm really sad.
Mm.
Which, you know, happens sometimes when you get a show that you love.
You can get 25 seasons of Grey's Anatomy, but you can't get fucking 3 seasons of Heels. Unbelievable.
I actually thought like wrestling had a big enough audience that this would have just grabbed it and kind of found a niche.
Is it because it's kind of, it was on Stars?
I think Stars was the issue.
If it had been on like Netflix, I think you'd find it might have.
But this is the thing. I think it's primed to do something like that, like a Cobra Kai. I reckon if Heels got on Netflix, it'd just have a moment. And I think, I mean, I'm hoping that happens and that we, you know, because we're in a stage where a show can come back after a couple of years. I mean, it happened with Warrior as well, which I was enjoying. I haven't got to season 3, but I know it came back.
Garrett, if you can't find a buyer, just take a tax break.
Oh, fuck.
Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, just talk to Sasha.
A tax break is...
We say imminent. We'll make the season, then we'll take a tax break on it. So, yeah, I got started on that.
You got emotional.
I got emotional. I love it. I love few TV shows, but I love that one.
Yeah, okay.
So, talk about plumbing the depths. I watched Tentacles.
Oh, is that the fake, there's the Italian Jaws
ripoff? It's the Italian Jaws ripoff. She starts
off. Fucking Italians love Jaws,
didn't they? But why make this when you can just make Jaws beat for beat and call it something else? Or when you make a movie and call it Jaws 5. Don't worry about copyrights. Why are we worrying about an octopus? But anyway, there's a couple of moments early on.
She starts off all right.
Like there's a couple of cool ideas early on.
It has got a cast of reasonable actors.
John Huston is somewhat magnetic on screen. You want to watch it when he's around, but it's so fucking flat when he's not. The story just kind of chops and changes. And then there's not a lot of tentacle action. And funnily enough, I can't remember where I read it, but I think I read up that they fucking lost the octopus in the ocean, and so they had to finish it out with like a diver waving a fucking tentacle in front of the camera. They lost the octopus that they were using, the fucking special effects bit of work that they put together. They left it in the ocean, so they had fucking to finish it without fellas. It. And Jesus. I think that definitely hurt it.
No doubt.
So I also got onto Joe Bob's Valentine's Day stuff.
Which was what?
Freeway, which I had not seen.
Freeway?
Yeah. The one with Reese Witherspoon and Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah.
Which was a bit of a different choice. I wouldn't say it's a horror film. I really enjoyed it. Reese Witherspoon was fucking fantastic. That is one of the best performances I've seen her put in, and she was like 20 or something.
Mm.
And Kiefer Sutherland is also excellent. She's pretty... some nasty stuff going on there, but I quite liked it. And the other one was Vamp.
Oh, is that the one with Robert Russler?
Yeah.
Grace Jones. How was
that? Bit of a Dusk Till Dawn vibe going on there. Parts of it were really cool.
Is it a sex comedy?
No, it's not really a sex comedy. Getty Watanabe's in there and he's in that phase when he was the comedic sidekick in a bunch of that shit. No, it's not sex comedy. It's not really horror either. I think they go for a little bit of comedy, but it's not very funny. But there's some stuff in there that works. It's got a real style to it in parts. Like the lighting and stuff is very noticeable and very magnetic. I mean, touch of class, possibly.
No, of course.
So, yeah, I watched that. I got into a bit of Netflix doco territory. I watched Rail the Alien Prophet. I mean, fucking hell. How many times are we going to have a bloke claim that he's the second coming or that he's an alien and he talks and people just go for it?
And then
it turns out a part of that happens to be, you got to have sex with the bloke.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Okay. But also.
Who could have seen that coming?
And then when you actually see him talking, he's just a fucking shit dribble.
Absolutely. And the funniest thing is this one, I mean, the guy had been on TV a couple of times, and it was clear he was trying to get himself famous. He was fucking playing songs on the guitar and shit like that. And then, the next time he's on TV, it's, I saw a UFO. And then the next time it's, now I am fucking.
I'm a prophet.
I'm a prophet. They took me up to the fucking place. And
good one, buddy.
But again, I watched on fucking Letterboxd reviews, there was one of the comments that was like, why is it that all these fucking cult leaders have to have shit music? Like, yeah. This guy had a couple of shit songs. he was singing throughout there. I think that the running thread there is that, part of it is about being fucking special and being, if you can't achieve fame, well, you just fucking make it for yourself in this little group of people that go for it. I didn't think it was very good. There was parts of it that were all right, but it's just like a factory now. They just run this shit out, and this one didn't perhaps grab me like I thought it might.
Yep.
From there, I went back to X. Ty West.
X. Oh, Ty West. Yes.
Yep. Love it.
God, I thought you were going to say Fast X.
Oh, no.
Fucking hell.
That was last week. I think I enjoyed it more.
It holds up for you. Around.
Yeah, it's fucking excellent.
Yeah. And you were telling me about Martin Henderson.
Jesus.
Strutting around in his crackers and asking the bloke to grab her. Here, touch my cock.
He's feel how hard my cock is. Yeah, good stuff. And then I finally got around to watching Pearl.
Okay,
what had Pearl it lined up there. I felt it was equally as good.
Huh.
Like, it goes a little bit of a different path, but stylistically it goes very much for like a, movies of the time. It's got almost like a Wizard of Oz vibe to the parts of it. I think Mia Goth might be even better in Pearl. There's a couple of scenes where, especially towards the end, where she's just, it's essentially just the cameras on her for long periods of time, and she's fucking excellent. And Superman's in it. David Corenswet.
The guy
that's been cast as a new Superman. Oh, I can see it. After seeing him here, I'm like, yeah, I can see it. Okay.
What's his name? David Corenswet.
Corenswet, I think it is. But I reckon in terms of the look, he's going to be all right.
Okay, well, that's fine.
So early call from me there.
That's good.
Might be, you know.
Man of the 2020s?
I'm not going to go Man of the 2020s.
Because if he's fucking Man of the 2020s, mate.
I'll tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to call Man of the 2020s. I'm not going to go and rush out and buy the action figure like I did with Black Adam.
Look, and Superman's had a history of some bad films.
Yeah, there's a couple of things.
So there's a hope that, you know, they perhaps can get something right here.
Yeah. And then I have two, one of which I won't talk about because it does feature in our discussion later.
Okay.
But what kicked this off was that, you know, there hasn't been much on at the cinema at the moment.
Mm.
I decided I'd go see Madam Web even after knowing what was coming. I would have seen it anyway. I mean, fuck, I could have seen 10 movies in the week and I would have gone, well, Madam Web, I'll go and check that out.
How was Madam Web? Because I saw the fucking reviews were scathing and the box office was piss poor.
Yeah, it's not great. Not very good at all. There's parts of it early on where you're looking at it going, gee, the bloody CGI's a bit shonky and there's lines of dialogue that just hit like a fucking rock to the face and you just kind of sit there going, oh, God.
Performances
are, well, I think in parts the dialogue is so bad that there's scenes with like Dakota Johnson and Adam Scott, who I think both are fine actors.
Yeah.
Like they can do the job, where it's just like,
it's cringeworthy.
It's not even cringeworthy. It's just kind of sitting there. It's just fucking dull. It's like watching a piece of blank paper. There's just not much happening. And I think it's similar to Venom when I spoke about like Michelle Williams and Tom Hardy's chemistry. Just looking, it just looks awkward. And this one, I think part of it's the dialogue. Part of it's forcing this whole Ben Parker business. It just never lands. And the, you know, the group coming together just happens with no fucking nothing other than a couple of words said between them. And it's just, none of it works really well. They don't use the power all that well. The villain is, again, I don't want to kick the bloke because I don't know what he's done before. And, you know, from what I've read, he seems to be a guy that's done plenty of acting work, and I don't know whether it was just the situation and the writing or whatever, but the villain is just terrible. Like every time he's on screen, I was kind of like, oh, can we just go? And then we'd get the group of girls and I'd be like, oh, fuck.
Okay. Bring him back.
It was pretty bad.
You know what? At least this one's not fucking 2.5 hours long.
True.
So you're not being forced to sit through this fucking bullshit for that
and
long.
And it doesn't have it. Mercifully, it doesn't have a fucking post-credits scene.
Oh, does it?
If I had to sit through 10 minutes of credits after that, I would have been fuming. I'd have spent the 10 minutes trying to rip my reclining chair out of the seat so I could fucking throw it at the screen. So that's me.
That's you. Okay. So that segues nicely into our evening's episode. We're going to look at our top five best and worst superhero films. Now, obviously this is subjective. And as I said at the top of the show, you've got a hell of a lot more of a breadth of superhero films to come from because I sort of dropped out of it. I do vaguely remember I started dropped out roughly around Captain America, Civil War, I think is where I fell out, and sort of picked up a couple of minor ones here and there, but didn't sort of stick with things. So this will be interesting. I think what we might do, Jared, is I might go through my top five and then you can tell me how you felt about them too and whether they would, you know, whether they you agree or you feel like no, and then we'll vice versa, right?
Okay.
Obviously, as I said, I may not have seen some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's start with the tops. Let's start with the fucking cream.
Cream of the crop.
The cream.
According to you and I. Which means
nothing.
That is very subjective.
Okay. My fifth best, in my opinion, so I'll take it bottom to top. And again, people would say that the sequel is better, but for me personally, I really like Batman Begins.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really, really well done origin story. And I think probably the best of the Batman origin stories where they've kind of given us a sense of what happened to him when he was a kid, but also what Bruce Wayne did to become Batman. You know, not just, I saw my parents get shot and now I'm fucking roaming around in a suit, you know. So the whole thing about where he went and trained with and all that stuff, I think that works out really well. And then when he becomes Batman, I think some of that stuff's really awesome. I think I would agree that villain wise, you take the Dark Knight because of the Joker. You know, the Joker's a much better villain, and Heath Ledger's performance is much better. And that's no knock on Cillian Murphy. No knock on him. But the Scarecrow's not as interesting.
No,
and it really doesn't work as well.
He's not the prime villain of the piece in a way.
And that you kind of see that shit coming. Too. That's probably one of the negatives on Batman Begins. You kind of see the Ra's al Ghul situation coming.
Yes.
But other than that, I kind of really love all that shit with Morgan Freeman and how he gets the tumbler.
Yeah.
The sequence where he grabs Katie Holmes, puts her in the tumbler, and then fucking car chases with the cops is awesome. Like, as far as action scenes go, it's one of the top.
Yeah.
So I really love it. I really think it's a fantastic film.
Yeah.
Personal. How do you feel? How do you feel about Batman Begins?
Well, look, I'll play my hand a little.
Yeah.
Batman's my guy.
Yes.
The majority of the comics I read are Batman. There's a lot of other stuff. I mean, I've got a reasonable sort of breadth of stuff that I've read for DC. Limited Marvel. I haven't read a whole lot of Marvel. I've read bits and pieces. But I'm a DC reader and Batman's the one. So that colours my opinion. I mean, I could have quite easily filled my top five with Batman movies because Batman's the one I go for.
Yeah.
Begins is not my favourite.
No.
But it is good. I think, as you said, some of the origin story stuff is good. I like taking him to the League of Assassins.
Yep.
They did call it League of Assassins in the movie, didn't they? Because it goes back and forth. And sometimes it's League of Shadows, sometimes it's League of Assassins.
No, I think it was League of Shadows, wasn't it?
Well, it was one of them. I can't remember which one it was. But there's a couple of things that I don't love about it. I didn't love that they swapped Ra's al Ghul and I still call him Ra's because that was a back and forth for a while. But I did listen to a podcast with the guys that created it.
Yep.
And they call him Ra's. So I'm going to call him Ra's. I'm going to call him Clay.
Fair enough.
So I didn't love that they switched him out. I understand why they did it, though, because the real Ra's al Ghul starts to bring supernatural in at him.
Fuck.
He starts bringing people back from the dead.
Why do we always have to go super fucking natural? Why can't it be a guy with a fucking mask on? Bullshit. Fucking meddling kids, you know.
Yeah, why can't Rachel Gould just be playing fucking parlor tricks?
Exactly. I will say this, if I had to choose two between Maggie Gyllenhaal and Katie Holmes, I'd take Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, yeah. That would probably be hovering around my honourable mentions. So I'm not going to I'm not going to kick you for having it in your five.
That's fair.
It's Batman. Fair. I'm going to support that.
Okay, number four. Deadpool.
Wow.
Really like the first Deadpool. Possibly because it's totally outside of what I was expecting. I didn't know anything about Deadpool.
Yep.
And I kept hearing things that it was more sort of aimed in the sort of the comedic sensibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Ryan Reynolds is taking on the role, and at that stage he was poisonous.
Yeah.
He was fucking poisonous.
In part because of Deadpool and what they fucking did to him the first time.
Exactly. But he'd also ripped out RIPD and fucking Green Lantern somewhere in that period. I remember thinking, this is a disaster. But it really hit the spot. It was totally outside of what all the other superhero movies that I'd seen.
Yep.
I think it's piss funny. I think Reynolds is perfectly cast for it. And it's full of fucking ultra-violent action.
Yeah.
My one negative is the villain's a bit sort of blah. I can't remember the guy's name, English fella.
It's Green.
Yeah, it's not his fault. I think he's a perfectly fine actor. Yep. But I feel like the villain doesn't get much to do, you know. But to me that doesn't fuck it up. And I love all that stuff with what's the big metal dude Colossus. That he's got with Colossus and what's the girl's name?
Oh, and fuck.
Something Megasonic Warhead or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That stuff was great. You know, it's just really cool to have this kind of like, they were like anti-heroes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really liked it. I really think it's a really good piece. Deadpool 2, not bad, but just kind of, I didn't think it captured it quite as well.
Yeah.
But I do have high hopes for Deadpool and Wolverine.
Jackman and Reynolds. Can't go wrong.
I think that could be a real winner.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's number four.
So again, not near my top five.
Not in your top five?
That one's not even in my
honorable mentions. Interesting.
I mean, I like Deadpool, and I think the things that you mentioned about it, taking the piss out of the genre, fucking just heavy on the violence, and it's funny.
Yeah.
It's fucking funny while it is heavy on the violence and stuff like that. But I think you kind of nailed it. I think the story and the villain sort of just let it keep it from being in the upper echelon for mine.
Okay. Fair enough. Number three. A lot of people would probably have this right at the top, but I've got two preferred films above it, but Spider-Man No Way Home.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the only ones I've seen in the last 3 or 4 years, and it fucking blew me away. Like it really pulled it all together, all the Spider-Man fucking mythology in one movie, including all three Spider-Man actors. I thought some of that stuff was fucking super clever.
Yeah.
And they did a superb job. And putting them all together, that one also had all the villains, didn't it? Doc Ock and fucking
with the villains together.
Green Goblin and all that stuff. It even gave something for fucking poor old Aunt May to do, finally. Yeah.
Fuck.
Which, you know, I mean, fuck, you have been criminally underusing Marissa Tomei for fucking two movies. You finally find something to do and she nails it. All round, really, really clever, really smart storytelling.
Yep.
And some fucking thought process into how to get it together.
Yeah.
And then action scenes that hit, you know, that they make fucking sense and actually look real good. Yep. Really enjoyed it.
Yep.
I was very surprised by how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah. So that was in my honourable mentions
as well. You've got a fucking very – you're going to have some interesting ones.
Doesn't make my top five.
No.
But I loved it. It's one of the ones that did the multiverse stuff right. I mean, talk about fucking pulling on the heartstrings, actually giving Andrew Garfield his moment as Spider-Man.
Because
I, like, you know, I'll talk a little bit more about it later, but, and so seeing that, fucking awesome, getting the villains together, you know, pulling some of that multiverse stuff together, it did it quite nicely.
I mean, they even sort of kind of wrote a couple of wrongs.
Yeah.
A little bit, like Jamie Foxx. They toned down the Jamie Foxx situation just nicely.
Fucking hell.
You know, bringing back fucking, even going so far as bringing back Willem Dafoe.
Yep.
I mean, I thought that stuff was fucking awesome. And he, you know, he hasn't been the villain since, what, early 2000s, you know? So it was really cool how they brought it all back.
Yep. Loved it.
Really good film.
Definitely, definitely close to my top
number
five.
Number two. Iron Man.
Ooh.
I fucking, this.
Okay.
This, I knew nothing about Iron Man.
Yep.
I remember reading a couple of pages on it in Empire magazine, Jared, back when we were reading magazines specifically. But, and I looked at the cast and I was kind of like, man, they look like they've got some fucking, you know, they pulled in some heavy hitters here. You know, it seems like there's a bit of money here. But I didn't know about Iron Man. Like, I knew Batman, Superman, you know.
Yeah.
And fuck, it's really, really, it's kind of grounded somewhat. Even though it's built around a guy who flies with a fucking flying suit.
Yeah.
But all that stuff about him being captured and then breaking out using, you know, creating a suit and getting out.
Yep.
Is really well handled. A lot of people sort of seem to have a problem with Jeff Bridges. But fucking no issues whatsoever.
Yeah.
The bloke's fucking supposed to be over the top.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be a loose unit.
He was fine.
And Downey Jr., you know, after fucking breaking into people's houses and sleeping on their couches and shit, drugged the eyeballs, it was the comeback of comebacks.
Fucking hell. You can break into my couch and sleep on it anytime, Robert. Yes. I'm sure you'd be, you know, a lovely bloke come morning when I say, what the fuck are you doing on my couch?
Yeah. What are you doing here?
Can you sign this before you fuck
off? Yeah. I would suggest, to me, this is the reason why Marvel has prospered.
Saved them.
This is live or die. If this fails, that's the end of it.
Well, it nearly was the end of it because the Hulk failed.
Yeah. So Edward Norton as the Hulk saved.
This kind of saved it and put it all together. And Downey Jr. was the fucking backbone for how many movies that?
Like, for fucking 20 years, basically.
For good reason. So.
Yeah, really, really great. Great performances. And, you know, I'm not really a Gwyneth Paltrow fan, and even she, she gives a really good performance there. And she's got a great chemistry.
Don't try to sell
many
fucking candles or anything.
Well,
like
she got. Yeah, look. If it's between a vagina candle and a fucking performance in Iron Man, I'll take the Iron Man performance. Thank you very much. True, although, I'm not going to lie, I'd like, I at least light it for me so I know what I smell like. Fucking hell.
I don't want to know. I mean, just keep it to yourself.
Okay, so where does Iron Man sit for you?
Not in my honorable mentions, not in my top five.
Shit.
Yeah, mine's, it's a little bit different.
Yours is deeper.
No, it's not necessarily deeper. It possibly is a little deeper, but again, I got money in the pot in a couple of these.
Okay.
Because, you know, I have an attachment to some of them prior.
Okay. And my number one, Logan.
Mm-hmm. Definitely fucking my honourable mentions.
Awesome.
Yep.
I loved what they did with it.
Yes.
Yeah, they stripped the X-Men back.
Yep.
They took it to a very sort of simple, streamlined premise, old man Logan.
Yep.
You know. Jackman is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
And there's a sequence involving Eric LaSalle at the house they go to where Logan holes up at that farmhouse and Eric LaSalle's the husband.
Mm.
Some of that is fucking the best stuff that's been written and shit, like dialogue-wise, acting between the two of them. Awesome.
Did he have soul glow in his hair?
He did not have soul glow. I wish he had him. And he didn't throw a fucking cup of shit at Eddie Murphy. Yeah, hold on to this. But it was just really, really well done. And just the whole sort of emotional core between him and the little girl.
Yeah. Well, it's fucking like It's Last of Us and it's God of War and it's fucking
It kind of had a Western vibe too.
Yep.
You know, the desert sort of fucking settings and I also love the fact that we still had Professor X in there too. Mm. Boyd Holbrook. He's a fucking lunatic.
Yeah. It was Boyd Holbrook in that one too.
Boyd Holbrook, he's good, solid.
Before he decided to embark on his odyssey of appearing in every bad fucking sequel he can seek out.
Yeah, Holbrook's good. Solid, like really good cast, but just a great movie. And I love it because it is the stripped back version. And if I was me, I would say this totally. It's not a superhero movie, so I can't include it. But if I really wanted to say what my favourite was, it would be Unbreakable.
I would have included it.
Because it's unfortunately not.
Superhero movie.
It's a stealth superhero, but Unbreakable is the top of the bar.
Yeah.
Because it's so well done.
I would have included it. I've always kind of said to you my biggest problem with it was that it was so fucking telegraphed from the get-go.
Mm.
But the same for something like Iron Man.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really dull my enjoyment that much.
Mm. But I think that's why I love Logan so much, because it's a superhero movie kind of in that Unbreakable mold of the stripped back guy who doesn't want to be that but is sort of forced into having to do it in a protective vibe. And fuck, Jackman is at his best.
Yep.
Here.
Yep.
I really, really dig it.
It was very close. I had it in my five at points. I shuffled.
Okay.
It's definitely honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions. Superman 78.
Mm-hmm. That is also in my honorable mentions.
From a movie made in 1978, they capture the fucking comic book vibe really well. Christopher Reeve is really good. Gene Hackman. It's a really good cast. And Richard Donner knows what he's doing.
Yep.
And it all comes together really well. Even some of the effects are kind of still pretty impressive for so long ago. Yeah, they still
work out for the most part.
Okay. Other honorable mentions?
Other than fucking Superman turning the world backwards.
That's
backwards being around. That's everything else works out.
And I also wasn't particularly big on him running next to the train.
I kind of like that.
Okay, two more honorable mentions. Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Which I just, again, that mixture, there's a little bit of dark humor in that one.
Yeah. A little bit of parodying of fucking the ultra-violent 90s kind of shit.
And I really enjoyed that. And Nicolas Cage is the kind of the fucking father who's teaching his daughter how to shoot people and stuff. And then the last one for me, I guess not superhero classic. You know, not sort of, but Dredd.
Yep.
I really like Dredd.
Yeah. Interesting.
Carl Urban. Or Keith, I was going to say Keith Urban.
Keith Urban was a fucking Keith fantastic friend.
Dredd. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Carl Urban is fucking, as far as I'm concerned, you know, you can't make, if they're going to make another one, he's still the man.
Yeah, Dredd comes out on his motorbike tapping his feet going, I'll be the fucking, fucking shut up, Dredd. Jesus Christ.
He comes out in a leather vest. And a guitar with a fucking mullet.
Oh, yeah. Pitbulls on the back of his bike.
Speaking of mullets, Jared, this is a slight side note, but I fucking fell across a film clip for Richard Marx.
Oh, yeah.
Satisfied.
Marxy.
What a fucking movie. I mean, there's a shot of him and he's encased in the entire TV screen and the fucking mullet is all the way.
Because he kind of had the Mel sort of Lethal Weapon vibe going at the front, didn't he?
Yeah, like it kind of goes like this. I'd say it's a mixture between a mullet and an afro.
Okay.
He looks, I better check it out. Awesome.
Good old Marxy.
Marxy could have made a play for Greatest Mullet, 80s Mullet. Even though he's not in film, that film clip would have just covered it.
Yeah, right.
All right, that was my five.
Okay, so I'm going to put it out there. I mean, I already said I'm a bit of a DC fan.
Okay.
In the films, though, I freely admit that Marvel has, I mean, in the last fucking decade, it's about a 5-to-1 ratio of what I would call good movies in Marvel's favour.
Yeah.
But my belief still to this day, and I may be biased,
okay,
but I feel like the upper echelon of superhero movies still belongs to DC.
Okay.
So I had to do some shuffling. I didn't want to be too DC I didn't heavy. Want to be too kind to Batman or whatever, so I've ended up with a mix.
Okay, number five.
I had to mix it up a little bit there. So number five, I actually went with the Winter Soldier. I actually think that's my favorite of all the Marvel movies.
Winter Soldier.
The Winter Soldier. I fucking love the Winter Soldier. I think it's. They call it the sort of spy thrillery sort of one, but I just think it really nails the angle of. You know, bringing somebody back into the piece, the way that it ties in Iron Man, I just think it's fucking awesome. The action in it is just some of that stuff that makes you kind of hold your breath. You're on the edge of your seat for a few sequences, and I personally think that's my favorite of the Marvel movies. So I've snuck that in at number five.
Now that
I feel like I had to put Marvel in there somewhere because of the body of work.
Is that the second movie?
Yes. That's
okay,
the second.
I did see that one.
Yeah.
Is that the one where he biffs those guys in the fucking elevator?
Yes, I believe that's the Winter Soldier.
I did actually enjoy the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I think the Winter Soldier is really good. I actually, you know, the last time I did a watch through, it fucking stood right up as the best one for me.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it. So
Good choice.
Winter Soldier was my first one.
Yeah. So number four.
Number four, I have Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 2, the original Spider-Man 2.
The original Spider-Man 2. Now, I'll get the stuff I don't like out of the way first. Hmm. I was never really sold on Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man. I mean, he always looks, you talk about old college, old high schoolers and things like that. Plus, it comes down to, you know, in recent years, the whole thing about how you kind of find out a few more stories and some of the stuff about Tobey Maguire just suggests that he's not a very likable cat. So
no.
Sort of watching it, it's hard to buy him as that Peter Parker. But I even back then, I was never really sold on this being the Peter Parker. Same with Kirsten Dunst. I was never, was never what I envisioned as Mary J, and I know it's Mary, MJ, sorry. I know it's kind of, I don't want to rag on people when they cast things differently to me because everyone's got their own sort of visions and I'm happy to see what they got. But now that we've had a few takes, for me, Maguire's kind of down the bottom.
Yep.
So getting that out of the way, I don't think in the live action Spider-Man stuff, I still don't think they've done better than this one.
Okay.
I think the relationship between Peter and Doc Ock is awesome. I think the effects for Doc Ock still hold up and they do some of that work, like, you know, that scene that looks like Evil Dead stuff from Sam Raimi. That stuff's really cool. And I think the relationships of the movie and Albert Molina being
Alfred.
Alfred Molina being the villain that you can kind of get on board with.
He's a fantastic piece of casting.
Yeah, it was one of the really early ones in that because obviously it was still pretty early in the superhero genre really kind of going full steam ahead. So, yeah, I think that's the peak of Spider-Man live action stuff for me. That's going to slip in at number four.
Yeah, I certainly enjoy Spider-Man 2. I still think No Way Home is the peak. Mm-hmm. But 2 is the next best one and is by far the best of the three Sam Raimi ones.
Yep.
And definitely better than Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2, which, fuck.
Yep.
I mean, that's one of them's in my dishonorable mentions.
Yeah.
But I think 2 is excellent, especially considering it was a precursor to a lot of the stuff we have now.
Yeah.
It was one of the early ones pressing the boundaries and making things where we ended up getting to.
Yeah.
And so Sam Raimi and that have a lot to, you know, we owe them quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because that series kind of created us a little bit of what we ended up with.
It did, and it sort of created the appetite.
Yeah.
And sort of, yeah.
People were jumping out of their skin for fucking Spider-Man.
Yep. So that was my number four. Number three, left field. I don't even think you probably haven't seen it. I'm making the early call. So this was one of the Batmans. I had to sort through a few of them. Batman, Mask of the Phantasm.
Mask of the Phantasm. Is that an animated one?
That is an animated one. So there's a lot of DC animated ones that are actually really good. This one ties directly into the Batman animated series, and it went to cinemas.
Went to cinemas? It
did go to cinemas.
Intimate.
So this was the one I watched during the week, actually. I got the 4K and watched it again. It's fucking awesome. It really is awesome. There's never been a Batman movie in the live action realm that has got the Bruce Wayne, you know, what he has to give up to be Batman and what he loses to be Batman. There is some things about it that don't quite work. Again, it's another one that probably suffers from things being a little bit obvious.
Yeah.
But the design of the Phantasm, fucking love it. Stacey Keach providing the voice of the Phantasm, love
it. Stacey Keach.
He provides the kind of the cloaked sort of voice that comes out. And the Phantasm is played a little bit like just a touch of slasher stuff, which I really like too. But, I mean, there's a fucking sequence in there of Bruce Wayne on his knees in the rain at his parents' grave. And he's essentially begging them to fucking forgive him because he wants to go back on his vow.
Mm.
And he's just in the rain saying, I didn't know I could be like this. I didn't know I could be happy. And I was, again, the emotions were welling up. I'm like, this has never been done in a live action.
You teared up.
The guy.
just to go slightly off tangent, why are we not mining this stuff live action-wise? Why is that not someone not looking at that and going, maybe we need to go down some of these routes?
I really don't know. Because it's still, and there's a nostalgic kind of touch to it as well. But I think there's so many people who are, you know, have gone through various iterations of Batman and whatever, and so many of them come back to Batman the Animated Series and say, this is what fucking distills it all into the best. And the style of it, they call it Dark Deco. They took this. They very much took this Art Deco style. It's often, you know, all the Batman stuff takes place at night, and they kind of pioneered this style where they animated it on black paper.
Mm.
And it's just fucking excellent. And this movie is it's right up the peak of Batman stuff purely because they get that right. They kind of bounce back between where he is now and when he was first starting to be Batman. And scenes like that where you get a real sense of, you know, like him sort of begging to saying, I didn't know I could be happy. I didn't know that this could happen. And maybe I don't need this Batman stuff anymore.
Mm.
There's just not many that have fucking looked at that.
Interesting.
So it's really cool. It's very, very, if you haven't seen it, I would recommend. I think it's about with credits, it's about 85.
Okay.
Without credits, sorry, it's about 85 minutes, but really cool stuff.
Okay.
So that was a bit of a left field choice, but I'm comfortable. I do love it.
Yeah.
Number two,
mm-hmm.
back-to-back animated.
And the second animated film.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, yes. Fucking I have yet to see that, but I've heard nothing but great things.
Outstanding. Loved the second one too, but I had to stick with the first one because it just sort of, I mean, you were getting sort of an idea that it could be all right, but it just fucking hit out of nowhere. Like watching it was just like, wow, this is really fucking good. And again, uses this sort of animation style where they, I don't know how to describe it, but it's sort of like, I don't know whether it's the frame rate, but I think they cut frames out. So it's got this kind of jerky look to it to emulate comics. And it's just fantastic. Like the story, bringing Miles Morales in there and his kind of arc and his character development through the movie, again, does some multiverse stuff. Does it really well, extends into the second movie, which is also excellent. I think it was just a surprise. And having watched it, I think I've watched it three times now.
Mm.
Hasn't kind of, I don't think I've watched it and just thought, no, there was a bit of a buzz at the time, but this stuff is worn off. I still think it's probably the best Spider-Man movie.
Okay.
Taking live action out of it, I would probably say that's the peak. It's just outstanding. And again, already had an impact. The most recent Ninja Turtles movie tried a really similar sort of art style. I think it's people have taken note of it and just gone, yeah, that was excellent.
Okay.
So a bit of imitation already coming out.
Okay.
So that one.
I'll have to watch that.
Get that
one
on your list.
Definitely.
So number one.
At the top.
I stuck with The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
I don't begrudge anyone going for The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
I understand The Dark Knight's, the pull of The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
I think it's very well made.
Yep.
It's very well done. There were some things that I just couldn't get on board with near the end.
Mm.
But I appreciated Heath Ledger.
Yeah. And there's a few issues with the, you know, if you dig into the story, there's a few issues with the end. But I think Ledger is just...
He's fucking phenomenal. Fucking
phenomenal. Bale is a good Batman.
Yeah.
He's not my favourite, but he's a good Batman. And I feel like Gary Oldman was a little more present in this one, too.
He's unsung hero of that series.
Yeah.
Because he's really good as what's his name? Jim Gordon.
Yeah.
You know, he works really well as Jim Gordon. So,
yes.
Yeah, look, I've got no problems with The Dark Knight being selected.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like a lot of people would have The Dark Knight at the top.
Yeah. I think it's still sort of takes your breath at a couple of times when I watch it. Just a super exciting bit of work. And I had to wrangle with my Batman choices, Adam, because I had a few that were close to the top.
So honourable mentions?
Honourable mentions. There? I know the Batman is quite divisive.
I enjoyed the Batman.
I think it's really good.
Yeah.
I think I've watched that three times now. I really like it. I really like it. And I think there's some things in the Batman that it kind of touches on or goes for from some of the comics that don't necessarily play out in some of the other stuff. Like Carmine Falcone in the Batman is as close to I can imagine what I've read in some of the comics. Much closer than the Dark Knight series. I mean, what was his name? The bloke that was in the Full Monty was Carmine Falcone.
Tom Wilkinson.
Yeah, yeah. So
still a good actor, but yeah. Things went differently there.
Yeah. I loved the Batman Catwoman stuff. I'm here nor there with Batman and Catwoman. It's been very prevalent in comics runs recently.
And it's been up and down in the films too. Hasn't it? Like,
yeah.
Although yep. I mean, Michelle Pfeiffer was excellent.
She was.
And I actually thought Anne Hathaway wasn't too bad.
Yep. Catwoman has been done quite well.
You've had some really good performers in that. But the Batman, I like the stripped back vibe of it again, that Batman's kind of like he's got his gear and everything, but it's not as fancy and fucking, you know, it hasn't got nipples or anything.
Yeah,
like, do you know what I mean?
Well, I thought I was going to, I saw the first time I saw the Batmobile, I was like, oh, not sure about this. But then when I saw it in the movie, I was like, no, I love it.
I really love the idea. Was it Chevy or something like that?
Just Colin Farrell was awesome.
Colin Farrell. I mean, fuck, if someone hadn't told me it was him, I wouldn't have known.
And I think the Batman does something that some of the other live action ones haven't. Dark Knight does it at points, but it's early Batman that has no use for Bruce Wayne.
Mm.
He's fucking just caught up in this vengeance.
Yeah.
There's probably something to the people that kind of take the piss out of it as like goth Batman and, you know, sad Batman and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, but fuck.
But I like the fact that he's still fucking gripped by it. He can't see that Bruce Wayne is a bit of a tool for him to use to
hide Batman.
To hide basically. Batman and to kind of extend his reach as Batman a little and that sort of thing. So I appreciated it for that.
I thought Pattinson was actually good. Surprised me. I was not sort of jacked about his casting initially.
Yep.
But I think he holds himself up very nicely. Also, Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah, good.
Forgot all about Jeffrey Wright. Good. Now we're talking about Jim Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
He's fucking awesome.
Yeah. I can understand why people don't necessarily get on board with the take on the Riddler. I didn't mind it. Just something a little different.
No, I liked the Riddler because it kind of had that almost like crime, true crime. Well,
it's a hard one. I mean, you can imagine someone trying to whip out like the Frank Gorshin Riddler now and people just going, oh, God,
Christ.
We can't watch this.
Or the Jim Carrey one.
Yeah, exactly.
I tell you the one thing I was not as sold upon, the Joker kind of angle near the end. I felt like that was just not necessary at this point. You can bring the Joker back. I'm not saying you can't. Yeah. I just kind of felt like you kind of shoehorned it in there as they're all here, you know, and we're going to bring them back.
Yep.
Let it stand on its own two feet. The story was solid.
Yep. That's
one of the things. I like the detective stuff too. That he's actually a detective.
Because I would love to see, I've keep calling for, you know, give me a bit of Mr. Freeze or something. Just don't make it Arnold again. Like, give me some of those other ones.
Make it Arnold again.
Give me some of those other ones.
There's only one Mr. Freeze, mate. It's fucking Arnold. Oh,
God. Yeah. Give me some of those other villains.
Yeah, maybe go slightly outside the usual.
This is the thing with Batman. You know, it's always going to come back to the Joker at some point. So yeah, that's a little tired. It is becoming a little tired. Like showing the origin story again.
Mm.
But there's just such a breadth of characters that I feel like you could come out with something that not a lot of people may have necessarily seen, but could really do the job and surprise.
Well, someone. Put it this way, Jared. Marvel is digging deep for any old shit. Why can't Batman dig a little deeper into its villain and make those villains interesting? Bring them to us.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, okay, it's not the Joker, it's not the fucking Riddler, and it's not the Penguin, but it's a lower tier Batman that we've suddenly elevated. We've given them a cool storyline and put them at odds with Batman.
Yeah, and they have done, you know, I shouldn't complain because they've done so many Batman movies now that we've got the Banes and we've got, you know, fuck, we've even had a live action Killer Croc, for fuck's sake, but didn't work so well and wasn't really with Batman. But go there. Bring those characters even deeper than that.
Go deep.
Bring back Arnold. Multiverse.
Fucking Arnold in the multiverse. Oh, my fucking God. Imagine that. Any other honourable mentions there?
Yes. Well, Logan was in there.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
I did enjoy that. Yes. Again, more humorous take. Yeah,
good fun. I did consider briefly the kind of whole Avengers Infinity War Endgame sort of thing because it's hard to replicate that excitement that they managed to generate. By the same token, Batman 89.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we were right in that age bracket where you remember the fucking hysteria about
it. We were frothing as hard as Jack Nicholson was when he got 25% back in. Oh,
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, like we were frothing that hard for Batman.
Yeah.
And you know what? Michael Keaton is still probably the best.
He's up there. He's up there.
Who do you take? You clearly don't take Bale.
Well, for me, it's I'm a Kevin Conroy man.
Oh, the guy did the voice
for the animated stuff. But if I go live action, I've probably got to give it to Bale in terms of the best combination of what I think the best movies are and the best Batman. I'm a Ben Affleck fan.
Yeah, I thought Affleck was solid.
He got some shit work.
He got some bad films, but his performances were good.
I thought his performances were all right. He could have worked in some good stuff. He actually
fit the bill just nicely.
His suit, I still love the suit from the Justice League.
And his age and his kind of world weariness and all that shit, I think that worked out nicely.
But Keaton certainly holds a place as like the guy that kind of gave me the Batman bug, I guess, in a way.
I still go for Bale.
Yeah.
I just think that his performance, like a lot of people talk about the fucking voice and everything. I've never had an issue with it. Like,
no.
It's just a fucking low rasping fucking. Yeah. So who cares? Like, what the.
And this is where Kevin Conroy is just. He's kind of legendary in this, is that he nailed that.
Yes.
His voice didn't sound like gruff and carry on like.
Yeah, like he was trying.
He just had a deep fucking gravitas. But then when he's Bruce Wayne, he's kind of like, oh, hey, and kind of just like,
fucking nice
he just absolutely nailed it. I think I told you the story about when he said, excuse me, to me at a convention and in my head, because I couldn't see him at the time.
Yeah.
He was standing behind me and I just hear, excuse me. Like, that fucking dude. Yeah. I just hear Batman say, excuse me. And I turn around, Kevin Conroy's behind me. Like,
it was.
So I'll have that moment forever. No,
fair enough. Honourable mentions anymore?
Honourable mentions. I've got a couple more. The Crow.
Oh, fuck, yes. Crow, I didn't even think of the Crow.
Honourable mention.
Good one. Yep.
And I did briefly, you know, thinking of your sort of Unbreakable, The Incredibles.
Yes.
Sniffed around The Incredibles a little bit. So
yes.
There was probably a few too many honourable mentions there, but yeah.
Look, I'll throw a sort of question without notice at you. The best cast superhero.
Ooh.
So who is the best one they cast?
The best cast superhero. Yes.
So we were talking about a lot of performances here. Mm. Who is the one that fits the mold of what you would have expected?
Well, immediately, and it's a little bit different to what you're saying, immediately I go to Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
Because like you, I didn't have a whole deal of knowledge about Iron Man, but we've hit a point where now Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man.
Yes.
It's kind of like inseparable.
Yeah, I would agree. That was my pick too.
Yeah.
He's the one that sits, like as soon as I saw the movie, I was like, fuck. You know, you couldn't have got the casting better than that.
I mean, Reynolds and Deadpool is in the mix. Yeah. Jackman as Wolverine is probably in the mix, which was another kind of happy accident.
Yeah.
Poor old fucking D. Gray Scott. he's still
fucking seething at TC.
Every time he sees Jackman coming back as Wolverine, he's in his fucking, you know, in his little trailer on whatever job he's doing, going, Jackman!
TC leaves little voicemails for him going, mate, we're going to have to push back Mission Impossible 2 for a couple more weeks.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate.
I think, TC occasionally calls up D-Gray now. D-Gray, it's TC. Fuck off. I'm still not talking to you. Oh, man.
Okay, so that's a good one. Let's move on to the bottom five.
Here's where the real meat is.
This is where I enjoy myself a lot.
Yeah.
Number five.
I bet you do.
Number five, Jared. Spawn.
Yep.
I took my buddies to this in the cinema.
Movie of the 2000s.
I believe I may have trumpeted such bullshit. And fuck, I'm not joking.
Fuck,
10 minutes
that sounds
in.
Unlike you.
10 minutes in, one of my mates fucking tapped me on the shoulder and said, "You fucking owe me."
Yeah. They probably still talk about it.
What a shit of a movie this is.
Yeah.
I get where they were trying to go, that kind of dark, and I believe the comic books are quite dark.
Mm-hmm.
But they fucking fluffed it. And the special effects and shit were fucking awful.
Yeah. I mean, Michael John White's never fucking recovered.
I mean, no. Well, that's right. He's been slaving away in the salt mines of C-movie stardom ever since.
Yeah.
But it just, none of it worked. Like, it was just really, really poorly conceived.
Mm.
And again, I didn't have a lot of history on Spawn.
Yeah.
But you only had to look no further than The Crow than how to make that fucking dark, kind of rainy stuff and make it work.
Mm.
I mean, obviously not as much cocaine on the set.
Unfortunate.
Spawn, unfortunately.
Very unfortunate.
Yeah, but... Do you know what I mean? Like something about The Crow they got right, whereas Spawn took a similar approach and got it awfully wrong.
Yeah. Yep.
Real dud. Real dud for me.
Mm-hmm.
Have not watched it since.
Yeah, fair enough. I actually hovered on it. I think I saw it on Tubi and I thought, gee, I better just check back in with Spawn.
No.
I didn't get through.
Okay, number four, Daredevil.
Okay.
I haven't seen the director's cut.
Yeah,
and that's the caveat. I believe that kind of flattens out and fills a few gaps.
I've heard from multiple sources, both, you know, written, you know, internet, not magazine anymore.
More Coolio, I believe. Look,
yeah, I've heard from people that I know as well that have checked it out and said, no, it actually does fix a few things. So.
Yeah, but the original cut is a fucking dog's breakfast.
Okay.
Affleck is not suited to this at all. And the action sequences are fucking pants. And on top of that, they keep using that ridiculous fucking, his vision.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you guys have to stop. We know what his vision looks like. Now go away from it.
Yeah. Especially once you've seen the Netflix Daredevil.
Yeah.
Especially season one.
And the Netflix Daredevil was much better.
Yeah.
And it was...
It was awesome.
It was quite well done. This had a big budget, big, you know, like...
Big names.
Big names, and it shit itself. I don't like this film at all.
It did. I considered it.
I would watch it. If I was ever going to watch it again, I'll watch the director's cut.
Yeah. So we're misaligned again. I haven't got either of these.
Misaligned.
That's all right.
Well, you surely got this one. Superman 4, Quest for Peace.
Yes, I do.
Fucking disaster. I mean, this is what happens when you cut corners.
Yeah.
When you get in films and you cut corners and you let Christopher Reeve you hold him to a Superman picture by saying he can direct.
Yeah.
And he comes up with this ridiculous fucking storyline about no nukes. Honestly.
I think, like, even when I was young, you would watch the Superman movies. And I'd even be like, yeah. I didn't know who Richard Pryor was necessarily. Three
was garbage, but it was sort of entertaining. But, you garbage.
Know, I didn't necessarily know who Richard Pryor was, but I'd even say, yeah, let's watch the one with that guy in it.
Yeah.
But Quest for Peace, not so much.
Nuclear,
not
man.
Not so much.
Holy Christ. And they cut corners on the effects.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Like, this is not how you take a property that you paid money for. And this is not how you handle it.
You paid all the money for the property, and when you have the property, you say, we're making it on a shoestring because we've got no fucking money.
You trump it, you make it on $25 million, then you cut $15 out.
Yeah, of course.
Fucking ridiculous. It's a shit of a movie.
Yeah, it's not very good.
Quest for Peace is the lowest end. Yes. And I'm not going to lie to you, I did not like Man of Steel at all. But I would I'd watch Man of Steel any day of the week.
Yeah, yeah.
Over this.
Look, I think we've spoken before, but, you know, Man of Steel has some really stupid things and some things I hate about it, but I still think it's an okay movie.
I can't
get over that. I just cannot. I mean, she'd almost make the list just on that fucking nonsense.
You know, honestly. What? Man of Steel, and again, this is a side note, Man of Steel, in my opinion, has got one thing, only one thing going for it for me. And that's Michael Shannon as.
Not even Cavill?
Cavill's not that good. He looks like Superman, but he's.
I think he's okay. As
he's
Superman.
Very average.
Again,
he's very bland.
He was another guy that didn't get a whole lot of.
No, he did not get much to work with. But Superman is also a bit of a bland superhero.
Well,
sometimes.
Superman's really hard. We've spoken about that. Superman's hard to get right.
Yeah.
And they didn't really get it right.
All right, you should have
especially
this one.
When your fucking old man is 100 metres away, you could get there in half a second, no one would even know.
I mean,
he's waving me off saying,
let me go.
I say, stop being a silly old fucking fool.
He has barely got time to say, let me go, and I've already fucking scooped him up. Like,
I fly
through the air like the speed of fucking sound. I mean, I would pick him up.
I think Costner just decided one day, I've had enough of this. Fucking send me home. And started pulling his behaviour.
His Yellowstone behaviour out. He started doing it.
I think that's what's happened here.
I love the way Kay Costner, when he's fucking flying high, he's a rampant asshole. as soon as things tail off a bit.
Kevin, you had a dip.
He's a character actor.
Yeah, yeah. You should know that it's nice to be on top. Exactly. And appreciate it. Kevin, get yourself a gratitude journal, Kevin.
Kevin, you're an old man. This is good for you.
Mm.
Unless you're looking for love, which I'm
Well, you can buy a secret membership to have one-on-one access with Kevin, I've heard.
You should definitely have this my number two film in your list, surely. Batman and Robin.
Yes, it is.
Surely.
On my list.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. If Batman and Robin had that sequence where Robin drives his clothes,
it'd be number one.
It'd be number one for sure.
Oh, man. What a pair. What a pairing those are.
People forget that Batman Forever's not far off Batman and Robin. It's pretty fucking bad, too.
Tommy Lee Jones, talk about fucking sanctioning buffoonery. I don't sanction yours, pal.
That's the worst.
Talk about.
That's the thing about that I don't like is I don't sanction your buffoonery, Jim Carrey, so I act like a fucking buffoon.
I act like a buffoon. I won't bother to read up anything about the character that you've written for me. I'll just do the Joker and I'll do a half-assed version of it.
Batman and Robin is just awful, partially because, like in some parts, some moments of the day, I could watch Batman and Robin and actually laugh,
absolutely.
And feel entertained. But looking at it as an actual structured film, there's a lot of problems.
At what point does it fall apart for you? Like 2 minutes in?
I think it's when we see Arnie.
We get on the bat skates and Arnie's got a group of ice hockey-themed goons. Is that where it fell apart for you? Because that was the opening scene.
Fucking hell. Jared, just you explaining that. I need to rethink. I might have have to put this at the top.
Yeah.
Holy
Maybe
shit.
It was the part where Batman and Robin were surfing the little bit of the doors that they blew out of the rocket.
Hell, no.
I've got to say, sitting there watching
that.
I'll
tell you where it went wrong for me when Rafe Moller and fucking Jesse Ventura give us some of the worst fucking goon work ever.
Yeah, they were both pretty good, I thought. Especially with the, when they start swooning when Poison Ivy's fist kind of comes across them.
They even dub Rafe's voice. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
What a movie.
I've got to say, though, sitting there and watching that in the cinema, finally, kind of after all these years, getting another chance to watch it in the cinema, it was fucking great. It was so funny.
I'm not going to lie, though, Clooney's the worst Batman.
Yeah, he's...
And not because he's a bad actor, it's just because he doesn't suit the... That's not him.
No.
You know what I mean?
But I would have liked to have seen him in a kind of Bale-type take on Batman, but...
Yeah, I think that could have kind of worked better for him.
But nipples on the Batsuit are more his style.
Nipples on the Batsuit and cod pieces that look like you belong to John Holmes.
Alfred. Respected Broadway actor, I believe, delivering some of the worst acting I've ever seen in my life.
He doesn't die, does he? Oh, yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, no, that's right. He goes, and then looks at fucking Clooney for a minute and then just goes, like that.
For the opening parts of the movie where he's all chirpy at that as soon as anyone leaves the room, he kind of goes, Brilliant stuff. He doesn't cop enough heat for that. I'm giving it to him.
No, he doesn't.
I'll give you your flowers when you do good work, but you gotta take a bit of criticism when you whip
mate,
that out.
You're getting a fucking petrified turd for that one. Okay, the worst film? X-Men Origin Wolverine is the worst superhero movie.
Big call.
It sucks.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Jackman's fucking looking bored. I mean, it's just nothing about it works. The fact that they took Daredevil, they basically told Reynolds, well, if you want to ever play the character again, you got to sit through this shit and be. But he's mouthless, isn't he, in this one?
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole. It's a big part of the character that he talks.
So like, why the
he's
fuck?
A fucking loudmouth that never shuts up.
So why
like
did we...
he is in the modern Daredevil, Deadpool stuff.
So why did we decide to go down that route?
I still don't know who's to blame for that.
Now, there's a bloke, I believe, involved in the script by the name of Skip Woods, who also wrote A Good Day to Die Hard.
Right.
So maybe it's him.
Okay.
I'm taking your part.
Maybe I need to look into this, but someone should have come forward, put their hand up and said, sorry. I decided.
Nobody wants to say that.
To cover Deadpool's mouth with skin and stuff.
The whole thing doesn't work.
No.
Like it makes kind of Wolverine this kind of, like I know they're trying to give us his backstory, but it's just shit. Like they pile in all this stuff and it just doesn't work. It's a mishmash of ideas. The action scenes are no good.
Yeah.
And as I said, even Jackman looks like he's fucking bored.
Yep.
Which is sad because, you know, everyone loves Wolverine.
Well, they do now.
Yeah, not back then. Okay, dishonorable mentions. Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. Had moments where I felt like we almost busted free of the errors.
almost. A couple of
but
moments.
Then somebody fucks something up and they're back to doing stupid things.
Yeah.
And it never quite gelled.
Yep.
And again, it's sad for Affleck because again, I think he gives a good performance here.
Yeah. I still think there's a lost good bit of Batman work.
That he didn't get to do.
That he didn't get to do. Like
this one popped up on some. I did a quick sort of Google search of worst superhero films, and this one popped up. And I remember watching it and thinking to myself, "Yeah, The Green Hornet."
Yeah, yep.
And I think a worst piece of casting. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yep.
Seth Rogen.
Yep.
Absolutely terrible piece of casting. I don't know what he was thinking, because that was not his wheelhouse.
But he. he's partly to blame.
Yeah. Because
he wrote the thing.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think they bit off more than they could chew.
Yep.
And it was a mistake, and it's just really flat. I think it's got, has it got Cameron Diaz in it?
Yes, I think it does.
Fucking hell. You're making her flat. And, how do you manage that?
It's got Christoph Waltz in it.
Fuck me dead.
Yep.
Honestly, terrible.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's me. That's my superhero five. Okay, worse. What do you got, Jared?
Well,
it's a number five.
Interesting segue, because the Green Hornet's at number five.
Oh.
Yep. I was filthy.
Filthy.
I was fucking filthy because I just started reading like a reboot of the Green Hornet with a writer that I quite liked. And so I was thinking this could be fucking fun. A pulpy hero from that kind of time frame. I was interested to see what they were gonna do with it. And I thought we could have come up with something pretty cool.
You're dumbfounded?
I was fucking very wrong. And I really think Rogan is to blame because he took it and they were going for comedy. Comedic kind of thing, but then they had, you know, there was the sequence where he's fucking fighting with Kato and, yeah, I was just filthy. And one of my friends, like I normally don't, you know, I don't try to shit on other people's things too much. I'm happy to say I don't like something, but
yeah,
one of my friends was like, oh, I thought it was great. And I was like, you fuck. You don't know what you're talking
about.
I nearly blew up.
You are dead to me.
I was just one of the few times where I was
just blowing up.
One of the other times was when the same friend told me that he thought I Still Know What You Did Last Summer was better than the first one. And I fucking blew up.
Oh, shit. I don't know if you saw the same film, but fuck. I mean, the first one's not much good, but geez.
Awful. The second one's, yeah.
Hey, lady. Apart from Jack
Black. Ladies, the sweet, sweet ladies. Whatever the fuck he says. Yeah. He was great.
He was great, yeah. Okay, what else you got? Number four, come on.
Number four, Quest for Peace. I don't think we need to say too much more.
Quest for Peace. I got no peace.
We covered that, yeah.
I get no peace from watching it.
Yeah. Number three, I'm going to make you pick which one. The Fantastic Four.
The recent one?
Yes.
Because that was just a fucking cluster. That was
just as boring as batshit.
I didn't see it, but I read about all the shit going on in the background and just...
Yeah.
What?
Well, it was a tough watch. It was a very tough watch.
It had a good cast.
Yeah, we just kept going through these sequences where I'd be kind of just sitting there for... I'd just be sitting there like, what are we doing? I can't remember exactly what it was, but down the stretch, we kept going to this fucking... Again, I've kind of scrubbed it from my memory, but we kept going to this kind of point where I can't remember whether it was Dr. Doom or whatever he was doing, and you just get this fucking barren kind of landscape sort of shit going on. I still, like I said, I've almost scrubbed it from memory, but I just remember these long stretches of this and thinking, what the fuck is going on? Why am I still sitting here watching this?
Yeah.
Interesting timing, given that they've just announced the cast for the new one,
yeah,
which looks like a really good cast. That's one of the more recent ones that kind of just stood out for me as like, yeah, this is not it. I can't cop this.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I'd rather watch that fucking Roger Corman disaster that they didn't even
I've watched release. That.
I would watch that. Was better.
Yeah, I would watch that any time before I'd watch this one again. Even with the silly effects of the elongated arms, and I would absolutely watch that again before I would watch this one. I would actually watch that before I'd watch the other two, like the ones with Jessica Alba.
Yeah, the Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Yeah, I haven't watched them in a couple of years, but
the only good thing about that period was that one was Michael Chiklis.
Yeah.
As Ben Grimm. The rest of it was just bullshit.
Yeah. Didn't –
Was it Chris Evans? Chris Evans was a human torch.
Yeah, Chris Evans was a human torch. Wasn't – was it Julian McMahon?
Yeah.
Dr. Doom? Dr. Doom. Yeah. Good stuff there.
Yeah, good one.
He might come up in the perfect casting sort of conversation again now that I remember that.
Yeah.
No, the number two, Batman and Robin. So I feel like I've been very fair. I had more Marvel-related properties in my top five than I did DC. And I think I've got more DC related properties in my bottom five. Yes.
Batman and Robin. I mean, fuck, enough said on that one. We have.
Yep.
That movie is just. It's the lowest ebb.
You said to me, why don't they mine Batman the Animated Series? Which is a question I can't answer. But the part that they did mine, and I've said before, is they took the really cool stuff that Heart of Ice established about Mr. Freeze and then decided to put him with a fucking bunch of ice skating goons and living in a fucking ice cream shop or whatever. Just take what you had.
The lowest ebb of the Batman franchise.
Because they do take Joel a couple Schumacher, of moments.
You can fucking apologise all you want.
Yeah.
R.I.P. the guy is unfortunately passed. But you can apologise all you want, but it doesn't make up for it.
Yeah.
I mean, George Clooney, I want my money back.
If I see him, I'm gonna text him. I'm gonna hit him up, but
if he doesn't fucking give me the money. Okay, this is where we say so you've covered off on a lot of the shit that I went with.
Yep.
So what's your number one?
This is personal stuff, but Green Lantern.
I never saw Green Lantern.
Yeah, Green Lantern was bad. I mean,
when you're doing actual CGI costumes.
Yeah. Yeah. But it had some stuff going for it. Again, you know, Ryan Reynolds was probably reasonably well cast.
Mm.
I have to watch it again. I don't want to, but I kind of have to watch it again to refresh. But I feel like he was reasonably well cast if you could tone down the constant quips, which I think he did. And Mark Strong is visibly just a really good fit for Sinestro.
Mm.
So they did a couple of things right. Unfortunately, they did a hell of a lot of things wrong too. I just recall it being just a fucking garbled sort of mess, and the effects, as you mentioned, like the CGI suits and whatnot, did not really pan out the way that we wanted them to.
Yeah.
I recall some really silly fucking things because obviously, you know, the Green Lantern's power, he can fucking create these constructs with his mind. He can come up with anything. We come up with a fucking Hot Wheels tracks on a sort of scenario at one point. I couldn't cop it. And also the whole parallax situation is a difficult kind of thing to translate to the screen. It's like this sort of entity that is sort of infecting, or I don't know what the word to say. I would say is kind of infecting minds and shit like that. It's just a hard thing to
get. Fucking hell. You have not sold this to me at all.
Well, that's all I've got at the other bottom.
Reynolds was in a bad place at that point.
Yeah, after this he was.
Yeah, it didn't help. And Martin Campbell's a pretty good director.
Yeah, he's done some stuff I like. What the
fuck was he doing?
I loved that Zorro movie, mate.
Yeah? Casino Royale, GoldenEye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, guy who knows his way around. Doesn't know, I guess he doesn't, maybe he's not the right fit for this type of sort of, you know, fantastical sort of shit that they had.
I think Parallax was the biggest issue for me.
Was it?
Looking back on it, the way they handled it. I'm going to watch it again soon.
I look forward to hearing what you've got to say.
Yeah.
Honourable mentions, Jared. Or dishonourable
mentions. I had I had Ang Lee's Hulk.
Yeah, yeah.
I know.
Some things didn't work there.
Yeah, I know people say go back and have another look at it, and I probably will at some point, but I just recall it being just sort of not light on the action, but the action was not as big a part of it as I felt it probably should be.
They tried to go cerebral.
You got
to
have some of it in there.
Yeah.
And I also recall this, I just recall scenes of fucking Hulk jumping around going forever.
Yeah.
And I had some good
actors in it.
Yeah. I was not having it.
But it didn't go well, no.
Morbius.
I never saw that, but yeah, I've heard nothing but bad things.
I think I probably watched it, and I maybe came on the podcast at the time and said, "Oh yeah, I don't know what I was talking about. It's fucking silly." I mean, I could tell at the time when I was sitting in the cinema that fucking Matt Smith dancing in the subway and stuff was a bit silly. But yeah, it didn't turn out the way you would hope.
Yeah,
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh,
and that is almost solely for fucking Jamie Foxx's.
Very badly handled. Just
so poorly handled is for characterization of Max.
Oh.
I think I mentioned to you I wasn't even that big a fan of what he did in No Way Home with it, but it was way better than
but
that.
But he was a smaller piece of No Way Home.
And they just had him as like an average kind of guy. Like, Talk about fucking misunderstanding what's required. Like,
but again, I think directorially, you know, maybe those Amazing Spider-Man films just weren't very, I mean, they certainly weren't very well directed, in my opinion. You know, even though I feel like they had a lot, some things going for them, again, casting in some of this stuff has been excellent. But it's just that nobody kind of, especially Amazing Spider-Man 2, nobody got the brief about what they were trying to pull. And it kind of almost felt a little bit like the Schumacher Batmans.
Well, I feel like,
not quite
that. I mean, Jamie Foxx did.
But Jamie some Fox of it went a little bit campier.
I still maintain that Garfield and Emma Stone were a bit of a shining light in that because they had a really good chemistry. Part 2 ends with a
real kick in the guts.
Yeah, they had a really good chemistry. They were believable as like a young kind of blossoming romance sort of. Whereas I couldn't get that from Kirsten Dunst and Tobey Maguire.
No, I never got that either.
So that's probably, you know, say something nice about the movie. I would, yeah.
You get it from Tom Holland and Zendaya,
yep.
Yeah, you get that?
Yep.
Right, yeah.
And the last dishonourable mention is The Eternals.
I never saw it. I was not happy with The Eternals.
I was not happy with that one.
Was that the one with Angelina Jolie? Yes,
yeah.
Good Lord.
Again, a solid cast of not necessarily like A-list, but people that you'd be happy to sort of go and see, up-and-comers, because Barry Keoghan was in that one too, wasn't he?
Oh, I don't know.
Pretty sure Barry Keoghan was in it. Richard Madden, he was in it. Old mate from Stuba.
Oh, yeah.
Kumail.
Yeah.
Nanjiani. He's recently gone on a podcast and talking about how he had to go through to therapy from the backlash to that one. So that tells you about all you need to know.
Yeah.
Poor bastard having to go through that.
I heard that was very, very poor.
Yeah. It's got the big bopper from fucking Train to Busan in it too.
Oh yeah,
the big fella on the train, he was in it. So yeah, cast was good, but I just
was it another muddled mess?
I found it to be incredibly boring.
And that's is an absolute no-no in these movies. At the minimum, it should be just wall-to-wall shit getting blown up.
Yeah, I don't mind you going for. You know, people that want to take different takes on things. And this was the Ang Lee stuff too. Like, I'm okay with that. But if it just kind of bores you to tears, then that's kind of like the biggest sin in superhero movie.
Yeah. Because
people are going with a preconceived notion of what it is. Okay, stretch some boundaries a little bit. You can't just be kind of boring people to tears with it.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. I said Seth Rogen, worst casting.
Is that
where you stand?
Yeah, it was very ill-fitting.
Very.
I think it was just, yeah.
I mean, he didn't. I could never have seen him as a superhero of any kind.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, and I know what they were trying to do, that the Green Hornet, Kato's the kind of the hero, isn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't that the idea of the Green Hornet?
Yes, somewhat, yeah.
But fuck.
But that doesn't
doesn't fit.
Are we gonna tiptoe around Frank Castle? Dolph Lundgren? Or
Thomas Jane or Ray Stevenson? I can take your pick.
Shit. I mean, Stevenson was okay.
They couldn't Thomas get it Jane right was until, okay. Mate, they couldn't get it right until fucking John Berthel. But no, Stevenson was okay. And Jane, if his one's so fucking muddled and full of all sorts of stupid bullshit, he would have been okay.
Yeah. Stick to the shadows, Thomas.
Yeah.
And Dolph, don't turn up at fucking, you know, Dolph's not hiding. Well, Thomas was the one that turned up at City Hall.
Yeah.
Don't turn up at fucking Castle's City Hall. Dead.
I had the element of surprise, but oh, fuck, I've blown it. Yeah. Fuck. But Lundgren was bad, but he wasn't Seth Rogen bad. Like, Lundgren, it fit for him to be the Punisher. Yeah, but
it was miscast. It was miscast, somewhat.
Yeah, but, like, he's not a very good actor at the time. So he couldn't do much with it. But yet he fits.
So you're making my argument for me.
But you know what I mean?
Like, no, he's not miscast. He just couldn't act at the time.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you could see him as the Punisher if he chops a little better.
He was a fucking bleach blonde.
I forgot about that.
Bleach blonde muscle man.
Well, they fucking didn't even give him the Punisher t-shirt.
No. I mean, Stevenson kind of looked like what you might expect the Punisher of that era to look like.
Yes.
Sort of a bit grizzled, a bit of stubble.
Grizzled, kind of. Bit older.
You didn't have to put boot polish in his hair.
Fucking hell. Thomas Jane, too young, maybe, for the Punisher.
I just thought the handling of the character in that one was a bit.
Yeah, it was weird and it was bad. I think Jane was in his 30s.
Yeah. He could have been okay.
But Bernthal and Stevenson would have both been in their 40s when they played
Bernthal's
the Punisher.
Bernthal's a really good fit. Even that series, they didn't nail it, but they did enough right, I think, to kind of say that Bernthal's the one you would.
If you were going to make a Punisher movie and you cast Bernthal, you've done the right thing.
Well, I believe they, I may be wrong, but I think they're bringing him back for the Daredevil thing.
So. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. All right, that's our top five and bottom five superhero films. Keep an eye on the Facebook page to see what we do next. But until then, take it easy, everyone, and we'll catch you later. Cheers.
Find the podcast at Podomatic or on iTunes. Don't forget to rate and review. Like us on Facebook at Thrill Me Podcast Australia or contact us at thrillme, all one word, all lowercase, at iinet.net.au.